I invite you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, Lord willing, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 4. 1 through 4. I do tell you this is the most amount of pages I've brought up since being here at Peninsula Bible Church. The family is a subject matter that is dear to the heart of God, as there is much instruction in His Word. But today I come not as a parental expert, so we are not coming to give details, but to give us what the Word of God says about children and about parents, about dads. And in this, Lord willing, to bring children a view of their God-given design and responsibility for their parents, and what, as parents and dads in particular, our God-given design is in regard to our children. And this may give us a fresh, in particular dads, a fresh perspective and view on what God has entrusted to us, and to enable us to be the parents and children that God wants us to be. I'd like to read our text this morning, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we have worshipped You this morning through our time of singing, through our time of prayer, fellowship, of our offerings to You. And now it is time for us to sit under Your holy Word. To hear it, we pray that our hearts would be open and receptive, that the heart would be fertile ground to receive Your Word, Father. And Father, we are addressing an issue that is so dear to each of our hearts, our children, and us as parents. And Father, we know and need Your grace to do that which You have called us to do. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. It is our intent today to look at the instruction given for children, and then to look at the instruction given to us for parents, and then the instruction given to us for dads. And so let's begin by the instruction for children. Look at verse 1 again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Paul wrote a letter, and don't miss this, this is great. Paul wrote a letter to the Ephesian church, and in this letter, he wrote to children, about children, and what the children's responsibility is to their parents. The implication is that when the letter was received and was read in the corporate gathering, children were present. Children were expected to be in the hearing of Paul's letter. Children were not set aside in some children's church, but they were with mom and they were with dad to hear what God was saying to them through the Apostle Paul. So what is this that they were told to do? Children, the word children, really, if you're looking for a loop out of this, you're not going to find one. Because the children here is not necessarily talking about chronological age. It's talking about your position. It's talking about where you are. And in a very real sense, we're all children. But this is talking in particular aspects to children who are in the home. Children who are under mom and dad's roof, who have the responsibility to obey their parents. And even for us who are out of the house. Yes, our relationship changes with our parents, but are we still not to respect them and to honor them? This still applies to us, but today, this first part of the message, if you're a child under mom and dad's roof, this is for you. Children, you have been given a clear instruction from the Lord, and it's very simple. Obey. What does that mean? That simply means that you are to do what you are told to do, when you are told to do it, exactly in the way that you are told to do it, and you're to do it with a happy heart. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Obey your parents, it says. Now, in Colossians, the parallel text, this is what it says. Children, obey your parents in everything. For this pleases the Lord. We don't pick and choose what we obey. Now, there are certain things that children like to do within the home, the domestic duties. And they do that with great vigor and excitement. And then there are other chores and activities that they would rather refrain from. You're to obey in what you are told, when you are told, and do it exactly the way you were told to do it, with a happy heart. You are to take heed to your father's and to your mother's instruction. You are to trust what they say, and you are to do what they say. Proverbs says, do not forsake what they say. And you are to obey them, even when you think they are wrong. You are to obey in everything. So this tells us to obey your parents. Verse 2 brings in the idea of honoring your father and mother. Now, understand, you can obey and not honor. But you cannot honor and not obey. You, as a child, will show or demonstrate the honor to your parents by the obedience given. John Calvin writes this, children obey. Why does the apostle use the word obey instead of honor, which has a greater extent of meaning? It is because obedience is the evidence of that honor, which children owe to their parents, and is therefore more earnestly enforced. Children, you are to obey, verse 1, your parents in whom? In the Lord, it says. Yes, your motive for obedience ought to be out of respect and out of love for mom and dad. But there also should be with you in your obedience, it should carry with it the weight and the motive of the Lord. Your love for Jesus demands that you obey mom and dad. You are to obey your parents in the Lord. You obey because God commands you to obey. You obey because you are called to obey. And children, God holds you accountable for the obedience that He requires of you toward your parents. To dishonor your parents is to dishonor God. Because not only children has God designed the family roles in which you are to obey, but God gave you your parents. Your parents are not your parents by accident. God gave you your parents for God's perfect design for your life and for your parents' life. But that's another story. Disobedience and dishonor is in reality, children, a fighting against God. When you disobey and dishonor mom and dad, you are disobeying and dishonoring God. Because God calls you to obey your parents in the sphere of the Lord. Verse 2 says to honor your father and mother. You're to honor your parents. Honor and respect is to season your obedience. In other words, God does not approve of obedience for, let's say, selfish motives. Have you ever obeyed so you could get something? If I obey, maybe I can get this. If I can obey and I can work on mom this way so I can get that. That's not honoring. And where God does not approve of obedience from a grumpy heart. Taking out the trash or making your bed while grumbling and complaining is not honoring mom and dad. God calls for children to obey out of respect and honor for their parents because, children, they are your parents. That is why you obey. Because they are your parents. And as you obey your parents, you are fully aware that obedience also honors the Lord. You are to respect both mother and father. You are not to respect dad and not respect mom. You're not to respect mom and not to respect dad. We are called as children to respect both parents that God has given us. And again, it is the father's job to train the children to respect their mother. Some children, thanks Tim for alluding to this, become increasingly rebellious. And this is seen through physical outbursts and violence. Listen to the Old Testament to see how serious this is. Exodus 21 verses 15 and 17 says this: whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Strike mom and dad in the Old Testament, it's over. You're flatline. That's how serious respect and honor is. Verse 17, though, says, whoever curses his father and mother shall be put to death. And that is repeated in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9. And the text that Tim referred to, which gives more detail about what to do in the book of Exodus, taking them out and throwing the rocks, bringing the children before the elders. Proverbs 30, verse 17. Listen to this, children. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by vultures. That's pretty intense. Children, God is serious about your obedience and about your honor and respect to your parents. Because if you can't obey mom and dad, who will you obey? But if you can obey your parents, In the crucible of life, when you have to do things over and over and over and over that you don't like to do, when you get out of the house on your own, working under an employer that you have to do things over and over and over that you don't like, you have already been trained to obey and to submit with respect. Look what verse 2 says. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. A child's obedience is so serious that God actually gives a promise or a blessing or a reward for those children who obey their parents. Now, certainly we do know of disobedient children who live a long time. And we also know of obedient children who seem to have the life snuffed out of them earlier in life. However, this is as a general rule, this is true, isn't it? Because children, what you do in your home today shapes who you become tomorrow. Respectful obedience normally leads to a self-controlled and disciplined life. While a dishonoring disobedience leads to undisciplined life, and that extends to all of life, doesn't it? Not only will disobedience to your parents put you on the wrong track, but listen, your disobedience to your parents will cause you to not experience the peace of God. Because when you don't obey and don't honor, you're dishonoring and disobeying God, and God does not give peace to those who don't honor Him. And not experience peace leads to frustration and anxiety and anger and disappointment. One of the Puritans, Jeremiah Burroughs, writes this: Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. Sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit. If we are not obeying our parents, we will never experience such contentment. Children, don't think it's just about taking out the trash or making your bed. No, it's much more. Your parents are building into you your character. They are building into you about who you will become. What we do today, and this applies both to child and adult, but what we do today are the seeds of who we become tomorrow. So, children, when you are called and commanded to do something that you don't want to do, understand, in a sense, it's not really about that. The bigger picture is about how you respond to that is going to determine how you respond to that the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And that builds character into who we are going to become as adults. Now, as a child, you might think the following statement from one Bible teacher is a little extreme. But I want you to think about this, because I believe he's right. This is what he says: undisciplined children spell ruin for the nation, the church, and society. You might think that your disobedience and rebellion isn't that much. But what happens when we get two disobedient and rebellious children? And you get three, and you get four, and you get five. This is what we're talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, where it talks about in the last days there'll be difficult times. And then it says this, as a description of what difficult times look like, that they will be disobedient to parents. And when that becomes a general characteristic of the times, we have a problem of epidemic proportion. Would you not agree? Your obedience does build your character. Not only are you to show respect and honor in your obedience to your parents, but your submission to your parents in a very large sense will determine your ability and readiness to submit to other authorities in your life. So children, you are to obey and honor your parents. The command is clear, isn't it? Let's now look at the instruction for parents. Now, if you look at verses 1 through 4, you see just fathers mentioned, don't you? But yeah, verse 2, it says mother and father. I want to just remind us as parents that implicit in the children's command to obey is a reminder that parents are over their children. Parents are over their children. Which means, child, you are under your parents. Children have been given to you to be under your control. They are a stewardship from God. Humanly speaking, yes, children are equal. Spiritually, yes, they are equal. But in the sense of roles, they are not equal. They are the ones that are to obey, and you are the ones that are to be over them. You know, we live in a day when parents are seeking to live out their own personal pursuits at the expense of their children, aren't they? Beloved, when we decided to have children, we signed over our rights to pursue personal interests. Our days are to be built around being around our children and building into their lives. We live in a day when parents seem to just be seeking out that their children be their friends. Now, there's nothing wrong with your children liking you, but their liking of you needs to be an outflow of your parental authority over them, doing what God has called you to do. We live in a day of anti-authority, anti-structure, anti-role. Mom and Dad, God has given you a role. And your role is to be over your children. And your role is to ensure that your children obey and respect you. He has given. And also, not only are you to make sure that you instruct them and that they respect you, but He has also given disciplinary measures to correct them. Remember those utensils that Mr. Tim brought out? J.C. Ryle makes the following statement regarding where often the blame lies in the children's disobedience. This is what he writes. I have sometimes been perfectly astonished at the slowness of sensible Christian parents to allow that their own children are in fault or deserve blame. There are not a few persons to whom I would far rather speak about their own sins than tell them their children had done anything wrong. Parents, oftentimes the responsibility really lies on us, doesn't it? We are the ones that are called to insist obedience. We are to make judgment calls on our children based upon God's Word. That our children are in the wrong, that they sin, that they're sinners, and that they need Jesus Christ. Again, let me quote J.C. Ryle. He says, "The mother cannot tell what her tender infant may grow up to be. Tall or short, weak or strong, wise or foolish. He may be any of these things or not. It is all uncertain. But one thing that the mother can say with certainty, he will have a corrupt and sinful heart." And we have to parent that corrupt and sinful heart. We need to tell our children that they are sinning in their behavior and in their attitude. We need to instruct them on how God expects them to behave. And we need to be patient with them through the process. We need to pray fervently with them that God would enable them to live out His standards only through Jesus Christ. And in all this, we need to use their sin as opportunities to show them again of their need of the cross of Jesus Christ. Remind them of the gospel. Whether they are saved or not, they need the gospel. I need the gospel. Remind them of the gospel. Charles Bridges wrote this, "Far better that children should cry under healthful correction than that parents should afterwards cry under the bitter fruit of them to themselves and children of neglected discipline." Headaches now to save headaches later. Let me read one more quote to you. This is from Kent and Barbara Hughes. Parenting, not politics, not the classroom, not the laboratory, not even the pulpit is the place of greatest influence. To suppose otherwise is to be captive to the shriveled secular delusion. We must understand that it is through the godly family that God's grace, a vision of God, a burden for the world, and a Christian character are most powerfully communicated. And that is our job, that is our calling, that is our responsibility, and our privilege as parents is to be over our children, instructing them in the ways of God. Parents, this must be our view of parenting. So children, you are to obey, and parents, we are to parent. But I'd like to spend the bulk of our time talking about verse 4. Instruction to dads. Instruction to dads. This is 2 weeks in a row we dads got hit. Love our wives, as Christ loved the church. And dads, God has given us a very particular and specific instruction in this section that we're dealing with. So it says, fathers, verse 4, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Colossians 3, verse 21 says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. And so what we want to do is we want to hang up in the balance of our mind that this is calling us as dads to not provoke anger or to cause discouragement in our children. So we are to not cause them anger and not to cause them discouragement. And so yes, here God gives us specific instructions to the dads. Dads, we have been sidelined by the media, by the social networks. We have been seen as not needed. Nothing could be further from the truth. You are needed. You have been given a special and very unique role in the relationship between you and your children. And I would say in particular your daughters. If we are not careful though, we might snuff out the heart of our children. We may dampen the affections of our child's heart, both toward God and toward ourselves. I find it very interesting that when Paul addresses fathers, he does not say, fathers, spank your children. He doesn't say, fathers, discipline your children. Yes, that is true. We need to do that. And yes, our discipline of our children is a reflection that we do believe that they are our children. Remember, God says, if I don't discipline you as my children, then you're really not my children. So we discipline our children out of love. That does not seem to be us. Excuse me, that doesn't seem to be our problem, though, as dads, does it? No. We as dads, we need a special reminder to not overdo our expectations and demands of our children. We must parent to not exasperate our children, and we must parent to not to provoke them. And this would seem from this passage, in Colossians passage, that this may be our particular area of weakness. Because this is the specific instruction given to us in the context of family life. Dads, be careful
how you relate to your children.
Oftentimes, we forget that children are children and they are not adults. Oftentimes, we demand things out of our children that they cannot do. They might be too young. They may not be gifted or talented that way. And then as they grow older, we don't see that they're growing older. And they want to do what we used to get frustrated with them not being able to do. We need to know the condition of our flock. Oftentimes we get frustrated with our children because when we're frustrated with them, we see our own sin, don't we? We see our sin in them. And when we get frustrated with them about that, in reality, we're really frustrated with ourselves. And they know that, don't they? Oftentimes we demand and we don't listen to them. Oftentimes we discipline and we don't hold them. Oftentimes we use the rod and we don't play with them. Oftentimes we may reach their body in discipline, but we don't reach their heart with tender affection. Dads, and I know I do this more than I would like to admit, but our children are exasperated by us. Because that's what the text says, doesn't it? I know we don't want to think about it. And I know we don't want to admit it, but sometimes our children's rebellion is connected with our ability to keep the righteous standards of God, but our inability to extend grace and mercy and the tender affection of our Heavenly Father. Yes, we can discipline, but can we reward? One pastor said it this way: the happiest and holiest children in the world are the children whose fathers succeed in winning both their tender affection and their reverential and loving fear. And they are the children who will come to understand most easily the mystery of the fatherhood of God. So may we discipline faithfully and love affectionately and play often with our children. And typically, family issues arise when we get off kilter in one of those. Isn't that true? We need to discipline faithfully, love affectionately, and play often with our children. John MacArthur offers the following observations from years of pastoral experience as to what provokes children to anger or discouragement. And because of time and because they're self-evident, except for one, I'll just read, give you this list. Number one, excessive discipline exasperates or discourages. Two, inconsistent discipline. Three, unkindness. Four, favoritism. Five, overindulgence. And what this was is when we give our children too much freedom. It leaves children feeling insecure and unloved. And that exasperates a child. Discourages them. Sixth, when we overprotect them. The seventh thing he observed is too much pressure to achieve. That can exasperate and discourage a child. Let me just give you one observation I've seen. Is not considering the age of the child. We give them meat when they're still on milk. We need to make sure that we're not expecting too much of a child who is incapable of doing that. That can exasperate a child. We need to be reminded of the way our holy, holy Father treats us. He never, ever, ever lowers His standard. But isn't He kind and gracious and merciful and long-suffering and tender toward us? Yes, we need to hold the line of God's righteousness, dads. And we must not retreat from God's standards. But dads, we need to come to grips with the reality that sometimes our holding the line is simply out of stubbornness or frustration or simply an outflow of wanting to show the child who's the boss. If we're going to hold the line, we've got to hold the line in love and for the purpose of love. Not holding a line, just to hold the line. Our role as dads is so much bigger and greater than just discipline and holding the fire. Look what it says at the end of verse 4, the second part of it. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now let's be honest, dads. Who do we give most of this role over to? Oh, Mom. This says dads. Who's guilty? This is dads. Don't provoke your children. Instead of provoking them, bring them up in the instruction or the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's what we're called to do. We're called to train our children in the Word of God. We're to teach them who God is. We're to teach them who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is. We're to teach them who God is and what God requires. And I want to read just some passages for you right now. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. And at the end of verse 10 it says, and that they may teach their children so. What we know of God, we are to pass on to our children and our grandchildren. And then that great monumental passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is verses 1 through 9. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all His statutes and His commandments, which I commanded you all the days of your life, that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now just think about that for a moment. He said, when you are sitting, when you are walking, and when you are lying, and when you are rising. That doesn't give too many options of not talking about God. In other words, there is, at all times, in all circumstances, we need to be looking for opportunities to teach our children about God. We need to use life, what faces our children, what faces our families, and teach them who God is and what He, who His nature is. Now listen to this. Psalm 78, verses 4 through 6. It says, you will not hide them from their children, talking about His works, His mighty deeds, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. God's kingdom being lived out on this earth causes fathers to to look beyond today. It causes fathers to look to their grandchildren and to their great-grandchildren and to the generations yet unborn. We are to look beyond ourselves and we are to gaze into our grandchildren, and that alone will heighten our awareness to maintain and to pass on the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Looking unto a generation yet unborn or yet born will stimulate biblical fidelity to the whole counsel of God. We will not look out just for our own selves and our temporary interests, but we will document the works of God in our lives by writing them down to be handed down to future generations. Dads, we have to look beyond today and understand that how we raise our children is going to affect how they live their lives, and then how they raise your grandchildren, and how those grandchildren raise your great-grandchildren, and how that alone affects society in how society lives. Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another, and they shall declare your mighty acts, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Today I did something I normally don't do. I watched the men sing today. And you men love the Lord. You can see the excitement. Some of you are doing something else. You're kind of swaying back and forth. You're excited about singing about who God is and what He has done. Pass that on to your children. Teach your children why you do what you do when you worship. Teach them the truths about God. And in the songs that we sing, go home and pick something out and say, I wanted to tell you today what that song means, what that line means, and so that they can understand why you do what you do. And they're not looking at us like we're some weird people. And that may be true, but not in that sense. Not only do we teach and instruct, but we discipline them with the Word. Our discipline must not be simply that they sinned against us, but we must train our children to know that they have sinned against a holy God. Let them know that they offended God. And if they don't know, then how will they know they need a Savior? How will they know they need Jesus Christ if they don't know they offended Him? John MacArthur writes this: you need to teach your children the law of God. Teach them the gospel of divine grace. Show them their need for a Savior. And point them to Jesus Christ as the only one who can save them. If they grow up without a keen awareness of their need for salvation, you as a parent will have failed in your primary task as their spiritual leader. We are to tell them that they sin. We are to tell them of God's righteousness and His holiness. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we are told of Eli and his sons. Remember, his sons were wicked. This is what God says. This is what He says. And I declare to him, to Eli, that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew. He knew what they were doing. He knew their wickedness. It says, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. I'm going to take his house out forever because he would not restrain his sons. Dads, would God say that about us? He say that we have yet to restrain our children? Not only do we teach our children through instruction, but we discipline them. Not only do we teach them about heaven, but we teach them about hell. Not only do we teach them about the blessings of God, but we teach them about the curses of God. We teach them the whole counsel of God. so that they may know God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. But as for you, speaking of Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, that was his grandmother and his mother, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. For Timothy, what were those writings? The Old Testament. You know in the Old Testament, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that we're just not a New Testament family, but that we're a whole counsel of God family. That we will go into those passages in the Old Testament and teach them some of the hard stuff. Last night, I read, I think it was Numbers 11, to our children, and talked about Israel's grumbling and complaining, and how God got angry with them, and that He sent fire out and consumed them. Well, that's got a way to wake up your children. That's the whole counsel of God. And it provokes questions and comments later. Why? And we need to teach them that. Dads, we teach our children how to hunt. We teach them how to work. We teach them how to play sports. We teach them how to drive. And all that is good. But none of those activities compare with the importance of teaching our children the Word of God. How is it that as dads we find time to do all those other things and yet don't find the time to do the very thing that is most needed? Our children need for us as dads to teach them who God is and what He requires of us. Isn't that what it says? Dads, don't exasperate them. Don't provoke them, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. We need to view the moments of life as opportunities to teach our children about the Lord so that one day they may turn to the Lord. That's what Deuteronomy 6 is all about, isn't it? When you rise up, when you sit down, when you lie down, when you're walking. Every opportunity is an opportunity to share with your children Christ. But let me also say this. I believe, dads, that our children need from us concentrated and specific times of instruction. To where we sit down and, yes, I'm talking about family devotions. Where we just stop the activities. Maybe just be for 5 minutes. Maybe for 10 minutes. If your children are older, maybe longer. But where you sit down, open the Bible, read it, talk about it, pray about it, and let them converse with you. We need those times where our children hear from us, our own lips, our heart for God. They need to hear from us our walk with God. They need to hear what God is teaching you and what God is doing in your life. There is no greater joy than watching your children's countenance and eyes just get really big when people get devoured by fire. You say, wow, they get it. And for us, we've read it. We've read it. And it almost becomes second nature to us. Because something happens to us when we teach our children. When we see their response. It renews our excitement. It reminds us of those first couple times we read that. And we are blown away by that. So I'd encourage us to take time out of our day to just spend time with your wife and your family and to open the Word of God, to read a verse or two and just to talk about it. Let me just say this. Don't worry about them not understanding it, because they get it. D.L. Moody writes this. It is a masterpiece of the devil to make us believe that children cannot understand religion. Would Christ have made a child the standard of faith if he had known that it was not capable of understanding his word? Children understand. One commentator put it this way. The very heart of Christian nurture is this. To bring the heart of the child to the heart of his Savior. And that's our goal, is to bring the heart of our child to the heart of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, there's so much more to be said, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You that in this room, there, as dads, we're surrounded, as parents, we're surrounded by other godly parents, where we can learn from, that we can be stimulated by how they parent. And Father, I thank You for the legacy of some of our elderly who have been faithful in parenting their children, which encourages us as younger parents to stay the course, to continue cultivating these things that You tell us to do. And Father, there's not one of us in this room who don't want to do a better job. And Father, we all try to, but we get busy, we're weak, we're distracted. But Father, we need to be reminded too that even when we are faithful, we can't change hearts. As much as we want to, we cannot save our children. So, Father, we pray that we would be faithful parents, faithful dads, who daily rely on Your grace to get into our child's heart, to transform them, to cause them to obey, to cause them to love You, to cause them to walk with You. Father, so we would give our lives to have our children do that. But we can't. All we can do is live faithfully each day, instructing them and disciplining them and nurturing them. And so, Father, I just pray that You would help us to do this, to be faithful in it, and then by Your grace, You would enable us to see spiritual fruit in our children. And when we do see that, Father, may we praise You. Because as You are the one that saved us and changing and are changing us, You will be the one that changes our children's hearts. And it'll be You who will do the work in them. So, Father, may we not trust in a method. May we not boast in our skill. But may we boast that, number one, that we as parents know You. And that may we boast, Father, about Your grace when our children know You and walk with You. And I do pray for our children. Oh, we have been graced in this church to have such wonderful children. I pray You bless them. I pray, Father, that You would encourage them and enable them to obey their parents, to honor their parents. And I pray, Father, that for us as a body, that where children have sinned and disrespected their parents, that they would go to mom and dad and to seek forgiveness. And where we as parents may be failing our children, that we would go to our children, seek their forgiveness. Father, we thank You for Your grace. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.